Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson. Today I'm speaking with Christian Price. He's the Managing Director of Nimmi Resources. And I guarantee most of you won't know who Nimmi Resources are. The ASX code is NIM. The reason I don't think you'll know much about them is because they only listed on Monday. That was the 22nd of November, in case you're watching this afterwards. 22nd of November listed, and they've hit the ground running. They are nickel explorers in Western Australia. So I've asked Christian to come and have a chat with us about why they're exploring where they are and why they're excited about this project. Chairman is Simon Lill. Some of you might remember Simon from his time at De Grey. So there's a lot of interest, a lot of excitement around the project. Christian, thanks for joining me on Small Caps. Good to see you.
Excellent. Thanks for having us on, Kerry.
Well, one day we'll meet face to face, but in the meantime, Zoom's doing a really good job. Now, talk to me about Nimmi Resources. Let's do a quick overview, because as I said in the intro, you've only just listed. So let's do a brief overview for those of our subscribers that don't know Nimmi, and then we'll dive into the deeper stuff.
Fantastic. Just a brief overview. So Nimmi Resources, as you mentioned before, is a nickel explorer. We've got our flagship project, which is the Mons Nickel Project, which is about 140 kilometres to the northwest of Southern Cross, about basically between Southern Cross and Payne's Find. And where we're situated is on the northern end of the Forrestania Nickel Belt. So it's kind of connecting up through Forrestania through Southern Cross into the northern section of the Forrestania Nickel Belt. So that's where our project's situated, at 1,761 square kilometres of ground. And from what we've picked up so far, we believe we've got the majority of the mineralised system in that ground there, in that newly uncovered region. So that's a very brief overview of what we're doing out at Nimmi Resources.
Why this area? There's lots of areas to look for. There's ground to cover, etc. Why are you so interested in this particular area?
Firstly, with this area was the original discovery from Western Mining. So the information that came back from Western Mining in 1994 had identified it as a nickel komatiite. The holders of the ground and the people who have developed the project, who's currently also Executive Director Luke Hampson, they brought the project together initially with a small tenement holding. And the same as everyone else, was looking for gold in that region, because there was previous gold explorers through there. And over time, and this was about 6 years ago, over time, through geochemical analysis and looking at the geophysics and the rocks, it vectored in towards being more of a nickel target, and slowly into understanding of it being a nickel komatiite, a fertile komatiite.
So, hang on a second, not being a geologist, what is a komatiite?
Komatiite, I knew you'd ask that question.
Me, but I don't know what a komatiite is.
Look, I think it's a lot of people are going to have that question, and it's something that hasn't really been talked about for a long while, because a lot of those nickel deposits in the komatiites have been discovered back in the 60s. So it's a new thing to come back into. But basically, what a komatiite is when the magma comes up to the surface, it holds the nickel and it runs out like lava, very runny lava on the surface, and the nickel drops out in the sulfides, and that's how the nickel comes up from the surface. So that's very, very much a layman's term. I'm not a geologist by trade.
Layman's term for me, yeah. Please.
So that's a simple thing. And basically the nickel-hosted nickel is where the Forrestania deposits and also the Kambalda deposits are hosted as well. So it's the same geology as Forrestania, Flying Fox, also Kambalda, the whole region through there. And that's why we are excited about picking up this larger land holding as well.
Is it easy to mine? Is it closer to surface? What is it about, and I hope I get the word right, komatiites that make it more interesting?
Most of the nickel in Western Australia and Australia are hosted within komatiites. So that's the prospectivity aspect to a komatiite. With komatiites, they can range from being at the surface, which a lot of it's already been taken, as I mentioned, back in the 60s, all the way through down to the 90s and the 2000s, when the last nickel rush and boom happened. The particular komatiites we're looking at are both on the surface and deeper down, and that's part of our exploration program, is to go through the next steps and identify exactly where the higher grades are of the nickel concentration within the komatiite. So that's our next steps and stages as we're going through our exploration process.
Talk to me about Luke Hampson, the executive director, because you said that in the past, the Mons project has been explored for gold. And was that Luke exploring for gold then? And then it's slowly morphed into looking at this nickel as a nickel project?
It went all the way back to 1994 when Western Mining first went and did some gold sampling across the surface there. It's an inaccessible area to get to, even though it's only 400 kilometres from Perth. It's not a kind of typical place to be looking for gold. It's 11 was kind of looking from Kalgoorlie all the way up to Leonora and Leinster. That was kind of the typical areas. And no one had really looked that close to Perth. And we've kind of seen from recent times that these greenstone or these belts do situate themselves in areas that aren't typically gold areas. So to answer your question, there's Troy Resources have been through the area.
Yes.
Image Resources. So a lot of shallow drilling to try to pick up gold mineralisation. And as they were doing the shallow drilling and the sampling, they're also sampling for nickel as well. But at that time, nickel wasn't really a commodity that was in favour. As you can know, depressed prices over the last over the last 20 years, excluding that period in, and I suppose in the mid-2000s where it had the spike up to 52,000 a tonne. But again, looking for gold in that region, stepping out, then realising in this small package, in this small area, that there was nickel underlying the surface in the existing drilling. So vectoring down through geochemistry, started to step out and have a look at the overall, I suppose, geology of the area and say, hey, look, this is not just limited into a small area. So what Luke Hampson and the team at Cloonmore have done is they've picked up the small area and then realised that there's similar geology all the way up to the north, almost 80 k's away, and then started to understand the structures with the help of geologists, or now chief geologist Stuart Pedersen, has brought all this together to understand this is a larger mineralised system that contains nickel komatiites, komatiite-hosted nickel.
So how much work has been done up to listing? Because as I said at the start, you only listed 24 hours ago. So first of all, congratulations on the listing. But how much work has been done up to listing? And then I guess what I want to try and help our subscribers understand is what's the news flow going forward? In other words, you know, if they're interested in being a shareholder and getting involved, what's the upside, Christian? What are you going to be doing? So talk to me about news flow up to listing and what's going forward.
The biggest amount of work that's been done, along with all the surface exploration, is also a deeper RC drilling campaign that happened in October last year. So that's what really picked up the basement and the bedrock geology to show that there was a kind of a stacked system of komatiites under there. So that was really the key that showed that there was fertile nickel komatiites within the region. So what we're doing now, stepping out to go forward in the next 6 months with the IPO funds, is now looking at, we've broken down all this tenement holding now into separate zones to start to prioritise how we break down the exploration spend. The idea is that we spend the least amount of money for the best result, and for that at this point in time, after we did the RC drilling, is going into doing a large broad-scale, what they call moving loop electromagnetics. So moving loop will pick up what they call conductors, which will help to identify where the high concentrations of nickel appear below the surface, and that allows us to then go and target more effectively and efficiently the drilling campaign onto these conductors to test for these higher grade or these more prospective anomalies. So we'll also be doing surface sampling at that same point in time. And this is in the central zone, what we call zone A, which is about 200 square kilometres. And then once we've vectored in and understand how it occurs within the closer area of zone A, then we start to step that out into the rest of the tenement holding. So there's another 1,500 square kilometres of tenement holding that we'll be doing surface sampling through to more broader scale electromagnetic work. So possibly finding some VTEM work across the tenement holding to then identify the pathfinders for discovery for nickel sulfides on the tenement. So we've got a focused campaign straight off the bat in zone A, and then starting to step out on a more broad scale in the rest of the tenements.
You mentioned doing this loop survey. That's just in that zone A to start with. If it is, how long will that take? And what sort of results How does that work?
Yeah. So we've only just announced the intent to commence that next week. So we only announced that today. So Zone A, more details are going to be coming out next week, but it's only a small area within Zone A, the highly prospective geology that has been identified. So that program, I can probably talk about a little bit more next week as it goes into the ground.
I'm trying to tease it out of you for our subscribers now.
I'm just going to be just pretty careful what I say about what's coming up on the ground. Make sure it's already been disclosed in the outgoing media already. So,
well, we'll make sure it's been disclosed for you, Christian. The IPO funds will. How much did you raise? Six, was it?
Just over $6 million after costs.
Okay, so how far do you think that's going to take you through this exploration program? Because this is a big land holding that you've got.
It is, and focusing on that first area and understanding the geology that's underneath that first area is replicated to the other areas also helps. So we'll focus on that first area. It's going to last us the 2 years as outlined in the prospectus. But again, we'll focus on the first on the geophysics, then on the drilling, which will also include a little bit of sampling there as well. But we'll stretch that out of the geos. We intend to get information up early so then we can make decisions about where we go in terms of targeting and focusing on some of the more prospective areas from the first round of drilling.
Christian, as Managing Director, what excites you the most about this area that you're in? I mean, you mentioned the Forrestania Belt. You're along the Forrestania Belt, is that correct?
It's the northern section of the Forrestania Belt.
So is it because it's along where other nickel deposits have been found? Because it's all about discovery. That's, you know, for explorers, you make that discovery hole and, you know, a lot of excitement can come along with that. Tell me what excites you about the ground you've got and what you're doing, because I can sense some underlying excitement in your demeanour today.
The biggest thing that excites me about the ground is the fact that it's been walked over so many times and people haven't really scratched the surface on the areas. It's slightly undercover. It's hasn't been, identified on the state geology map in the past. So for me, that's something that's exciting, is to add something onto the WA state geology map that's prospective for not just nickel sulfides, but other minerals as well. So to me, it's have such a large land holding across a large mineral system that could potentially hold both nickel sulfides and gold and other minerals in that package. To me, is probably the most exciting side of things, and it's building that, I suppose, that profile of targets and start to progress those towards what could potentially be an economic nickel sulfide resource is really what excites me about getting in on the ground level with something like Nimby Resources.
Are you going to be looking for various different types of commodities? We've been talking a lot about nickel, and of course nickel is on everyone's lips at the moment, and in fact commodity prices are pretty strong at the moment. What do you think you might have? Are you going to be testing for all sorts of different mineralization?
Definitely. And as we go through, we'll be testing and sampling for different commodities, especially on the gold side of things, the prospectivity for gold and the kind of occurrence of nickel and gold happen traditionally within the West Australian setting. Anyway, I won't go too much into the geology side of things, but with the structural setting that we've got, and I suppose with the mineralized zone, we'd be looking for both nickel, gold, and other elements too. I can't really talk too much about the other things we're looking at.
All right. Well, watch this space, ladies and gentlemen. Whenever they say they can't talk about stuff, my little ears prick up and go, oh, can't you just tell us a little bit more? But no, it's okay. I won't push you. You said before, look, a number of explorers have kicked the rocks around this area. You mentioned Troy Resources. And you say that it was undercover. Is that deep cover, or like why didn't they get excited like you are at the moment?
I mean, some of these areas aren't even deep undercover. Some of these are exposed on the surface. So they haven't put in the work to tie in the whole area and understand the geology of the area. So that's the key about the team that's put this project together under Luke Hampson's guidance and also Stuart Pedersen, the chief geologist. No one's really looked at it and questioned the kind of status quo of what's been put out there for, I suppose, the state geology map. So that's the key there, is that you've tying together the geology, the geochemistry and the geophysics to identify basically something that is in order of magnitude of size similar to the Kambalda region. And and that kind of puts it side by side with something that people can really understand. So similar kind of rocks, similar kind of mineralisation style, but a lot earlier stage And I suppose a lot more potential there to be that person who moves in and being that first mover in the area.
How far away are you from, because Chalice, of course, have got a lot of excitement this year. Do you think there might be some PGEs in there? Do you think that, that there's any similarities to the Julimar area?
Look, different kind of geology, but in terms of scale and in terms of picking up in a region that is being undercover and underexplored or underappreciated, definitely there's similarities there. But in terms of the geology, there's slight differences in the way that the nickel was formed in those two areas. But in terms of being something that's slightly undercover that's been walked over in the past, the similarities there are key.
I think it's important for our subscribers to know who the team is. You mentioned Luke Hampson and some of the other members of the team and the work that they've been doing. What are they? Just tell us a little bit more about the team, because I quite often say to people, you've got to look at who's behind the project. Definitely. Because it's not just project, it's also people. So can you just tell us a little bit about the people behind the project?
Definitely. And I'm also mentioning Simon a little too with his background at De Grey with the support. So Luke Hampson is a kind of a non-traditional background. He comes from a kind of more an energy engineering discipline background. Luke very much focused on the geology and the geostats of the area and bringing together the geostats to understand what type of mineralisation was in the area, and combined with the work that Stuart Pedersen, our chief geologist, has compiled with a number of different expert groups who have come in on the geophysics side of things and also on the geology and geochemistry side of things. Luke and Stuart Pedersen are the key members of the team there in terms of the geology and the discovery side of things. Stuart himself has had extensive nickel experience in both nickel sulfides and also nickel laterites. So spent some time at Neo Metals in what's now the Widgie project, just south of Kambalda, and also with Australian Mines as well at the Sconey deposit. So he's got some experience in the discovery and the definition of nickel sulfides, and also understanding the laterite side of things, which is important to know the difference between the two.
Well, tell our subscribers what's the difference, what's the importance of it?
Nickel sulfides are really the primary target of what we're after. So nickel sulfides are more suited for producing, I suppose, what was called a class one nickel product, which then goes into, I suppose, the well-known lithium batteries. Yep. So that nickel sulfide going into lithium batteries is what the world's after at the moment. Absolutely. And is what we're building up that production capacity in Australia through groups like BHP and selling directly nickel sulfate directly to groups like Toyota and Tesla. So that's really what we're after, is we're after the nickel sulfides, which are have already got a kind of production path and a downstream path into an industry.
It's interesting, Christian. You've got yourself going just before Christmas. Are you guys going to be going through Christmas? You can take a bit of a break. I just want to try and find out for our listeners, yep, a little bit more about news flow going forward into the new year.
Definitely. So on the ground with the moving loop crew and also surface, yep, sampling as well, which was mentioned today. So we'll be also looking at mobilising drills within the new year through that period, and that's comes on the back of the results of the moving loop information that we put out. So the moving loop will help then target and focus the drilling that we're going to be intending to plan on in the new year, and that's already outlined in what we're doing for. But look, we're only going to take a small break over that Christmas period. Some of the crews will have to take that break because it's we don't want people working through Christmas and not enjoying themselves during that time and come back refreshed early in the new year to recommence the work back down on the ground, and the same with the surface sampling work as well and some other surface work that we're doing.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is how discoveries are made, by doing the work and doing it methodically. But you guys have got a very large ground holding. You've only really discussed with us today Zone A, so I'm sure next year you'll be able to sort of, I guess, branch out and tell us about the other areas that you'll be covering. But for now, what I'd like to know, Christian, is three reasons you've just listed. Why should investors be sitting up and taking notice of NIMI Resources, ASX code NIM, right now?
Okay, definitely. So the first one for us is definitely being the first mover in that new region. It's been shown in the past that the first movers in the region are the ones that are able to make those the larger discoveries. You've got the larger land holding, and you can do broad scale exploration techniques over that land holding. So being the first mover in that region is really key for us. Really key. I suppose the second one for us has been in the nickel space. In the nickel space at the moment, look, I know it is a hot topic at the moment, but there is a real demand going forward for greenfields exploration to then feed into the next projects that are coming through into producing mines. So there's going to be a real big shortage in terms of exploration projects to then feed the developing and producing mines. And that's not just in Western Australia, that's across into Canada as well and China and the US. So that's a really good space to be in for us, and we see a definite shortage there.
And finally?
And finally, third is our project pipeline. The biggest thing for us is having that that project pipeline of 30 targets across six zones, starting to progress those into development targets, and with ultimately trying to produce or define an economic resource. For us, that is the is that key, is that large range of targets we've already got, that we've already at later stages in a lot of those targets, but we're going to start to progress those through. So that's a real advantage. We've already got those targets that we're moving on now and then starting to progress those through the development pipeline. So I'm really excited about potentially defining an economic nickel resource in that area.
An economic nickel resource in the area. They're only just getting started, ladies and gentlemen. And as Christian just said, there is a massive lack of supply of nickel going forward to feed that EV revolution, to feed that sort of green future that we're all looking forward to. Christian Price, Managing Director of NIMI Resources. We look forward to some news, and maybe you need to come back and have a chat with me after you've done that sort of that zone A and let us know what it is you found. It's all about the discovery, isn't it?
Certainly is, and work on the ground is the only way you're going to find it.
Absolutely. Putting the drill bit and the resources into the ground right now. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thanks, Kerry. Pleasure being on.